ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
This is Quick Smart, and you're listening to our summer season. We'll return with fresh episodes soon, but in the meantime, please enjoy our special curation of our favourite Quick Smart episodes. A sneaky beer before midday, a few wines with Christmas lunch. How much did you drink over the holidays? Between the health conscious, sober curious, and people just wanting a break from booze, low and zero alcohol drinks have us hooked. So much so, the industry is expected to reach $43 billion by 2027. I'm Siobhan Marin. This is Quick Smart, the show that feeds you big ideas in bite-sized pieces. Why are we obsessed with no-low beverages? How healthy are they? And could they help people kick an alcohol habit? Someone who's been sifting through the research is science reporter Jacinta Bowler. Hey, Jacinta.
Hey, how you going?
Pleasure to have you to talk about this very fun topic. I need to ask, how often do you partake in a non-alcoholic beverage?
I really like them. And I feel like even a few years ago, I thought the whole idea of it was absolutely like not something I would possibly go for. But in the last few years, yeah, I do like a non-alcoholic beer. And I've recently tried a spirit as well, which was quite good.
Okay, stop right there. How come you were skeptical at the start?
So for me, I think what's changed is what I want to get out of alcohol. So, when you're young and you're 18 and you're doing all those kind of things, I think the idea is to get drunk. So the idea of not having alcohol in something felt really silly to me, whereas now I just want to have, a cold drink after work or whatever it might be. And so the idea of not having a hangover the next day or, I don't need the buzz, I just want to have the taste of, a beer. So I think my priorities have changed more than, well, also I think they've gotten better as well.
Sounds like you're maturing. For a country whose identity was basically founded on the idea of going down to the pub for a cold one, was it a tough sell to get Australians into sober drinks?
Yeah, so I spoke to Ben Holdstock. He's one of the head brewers at Heaps Normal, which is a very big non-alcoholic beer brand. And he said that it was really culturally challenging to get this off the ground. I think that for Australians, it is one of those things that for a while, there wasn't any kind of cool non-alcoholic beers or non-alcoholic beverages. They were kind of always sitting in the back of the grocery store in like one section. Like you might have like a fake wine or some kind of apple flavored bubbly stuff. And that was the entire industry, that was all you had. Whereas now there's a lot more flavors, a lot more things going on. And I think it's seen as significantly more okay to do.
It definitely wasn't sexy in the past. The only memory I have is of a great aunt who used to have non-alcoholic wine and it tasted like grape juice.
Yeah, for sure. And the reason why that is, which I now know, is because alcohol is such a big component of wine. It's 14% usually.
Oh, fascinating. Okay, and I'm very keen to get into what actually these drinks constitute of, but people might be surprised to find that an alcohol-free drink can be the same price, perhaps even more expensive than the boozy version. Why is that?
Yeah, so I was wondering this too. There's a tax on alcohol. So if you don't have that tax, it should be cheaper than, the alcoholic counterpart. However, it's very, very similar to make these drinks than what it is to make the alcoholic versions. So if we take wine, for example, you've got the bottle of wine, you're smashing the grapes, you're fermenting it, you're doing all the same things that you would normally do with a bottle of wine. Once you've done that, you then have to take the alcohol out of that, and you do that by something called vacuum distilling. And that basically, it heats up the beverage slightly and you can take the alcohol out but leave the rest of the compounds. Now, that's a very exciting process, but it's also really expensive, you know? Like, so you not only have to do all of the regular things that you do to make wine, you then have to do this expensive process to take the alcohol out of the wine. So it makes sense why they're so expensive, you know? They're not the same price as a regular soft drink at the shops.
Mm. And is that always the process? You make the alcohol, then you take it out? Or is there a different way that these drinks can be achieved?
Yeah, so alcohol in wine is pretty much always done that way. There's not really another way to be able to make non-alcoholic wine. However, beers actually, and a lot of the craft beers that we now associate with non-alcoholic drinks are made completely differently. There's no alcohol involved at all. So what they do is they'll have your regular brewery, all of the bits that you would normally have, but instead of using a yeast that produces alcohol, they can use a special type of yeast that doesn't produce the same amount of alcohol. It doesn't use sugars the same way. And so you end up with a product that might have less than 0.5% alcohol, making it sort of a low alcohol option. And this, yeah, it still takes 2 weeks. It's still extremely similar to alcoholic beer. Apparently, one of the people I spoke to said that it was actually more complicated because you had to kind of work out the exact proportions to make it taste like a regular beer. But it doesn't have any alcohol in it.
I feel like non-alcoholic beer can taste almost exactly the same as the intoxicating version, but spirits seem to be more hit and miss when they aren't based on alcohol. How are they made?
Yeah, so this one was one that I hadn't had much experience with. I think I'd had like a mocktail, you know, at a bar, but I hadn't actually tried the individual spirits. So when you think about making a gin or making a whiskey or anything like that, basically you take the alcohol, you can distill it, you can make it yourself, but you can also just, you know, buy it, and then you put in flavoring. So you might add juniper if it's gin and maybe some, you know, nice other botanicals, or you could put it in a barrel and create that kind of smoky flavor that you get in whiskey. And you can do similar things just with water. So for a lot of, well, it depends on what kind of spirit manufacturer we're talking about, but the good ones will do the same process. They'll distill it, they'll put it in something, and they'll, you know, combine that flavor. They'll make it taste good, but it's never really going to taste like a spirit because the alcohol has a certain flavor to it. And instead of the alcohol, you're using water.
I understand why people might choose not to drink alcohol, but why would someone decide on a no or low alcohol beverage rather than a soda water or a soft drink?
Yeah, so from what I understand, a lot of the time, these beverages are not being used by people that are 100% sober. And that's for a few reasons. One, you know, a non-alcoholic beer tastes a lot like a regular beer. And if that's something that you're worried about or you don't want to go back to drinking, you probably don't want to be indulging in that kind of thing. However, the people that are doing this are kind of like me. They just want to drink a little bit less. Maybe they want to have a beer and then a non-alcoholic beer, or they just want to have some nights where they're off. And so this can be a really good alternative to that. What I found really interesting about this, though, and a study that was published recently backs this up, is that there's some people that can lower their amount of drinking for you using these, but you're usually not going 100% to zero. So maybe they're not a great way to get people to completely quit. Instead, they're kind of like a half measure. They're something that you can take to have less alcohol, which is good for you, but it's probably not going to get rid of all of the alcoholic cravings you might have.
Mm, and does it also give you a sense of social lubrication to have something that feels like a beer or a wine but doesn't have alcohol?
Oh, for sure. And I mean, if you're pregnant or you don't want to tell people that you're not drinking, it is a really easy way to just, you know, grab a beer. And I mean, if you pour it from the can into a glass, you really can't tell the difference. And so those kind of things are great. And also, I feel like after you've had a few soft drinks, like as someone who sometimes doesn't drink, like there's only so many soda waters or soft drinks you can have.
Yeah, absolutely. And my final question is, how healthy are these no-lo drinks?
Yeah, so I want to start by saying that alcohol is bad for us. And we know that, studies have shown that. There is a lot of research has shown that there is no safe amount of alcohol. So anything that can stop us drinking alcohol, even in small amounts, is good for us. And so if non-alcoholic beer and wine and spirits are filling that niche, that's absolutely a good thing. However, if you're replacing water or soda water with non-alcoholic beverages, it's probably not better for you. And the reason for that is because they're still made of the same kind of ingredients. You've still got carbs in beer. In wine, for example, they have to add more sugar in because there's not a lot left in the wine when it's done. And in spirits, of course, it's water, so you're flavouring it. There's probably not a lot of sugar in that. However, you're putting it with a tonic or some other kind of sugary drink usually, so that would have the same kind of issues. So it's definitely healthier than drinking alcoholic beverages, but don't expect it to be like as good as water because it's just not.
Was there anything that we haven't asked you that you'd like to add?
So there's a group of people that are using non-alcoholic beverages as a type of sports drink. So maybe you're doing a long run and then afterwards you might have one of those. And some studies have shown that maybe it is effective, which I find really interesting. And now you can actually buy specific sports non-alcoholic beers. It's an extremely weird industry. But there's lots of different studies that are kind of so-so on this. We don't know for sure whether these are actually doing anything to us. But I don't know. I feel like it's kind of fun to go for a really big run and then have a beer-flavoured beverage afterwards.
It's kind of the last thing that I'd think I'd want to do, but, you know, here for it.
Yeah, I guess if it's that or water, maybe the water first and then the beer after that.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show, Jacinta.
Thanks for having me.
QuickSmart was recorded on the lands of the Gadigal people. Thanks to my producer, Jessie Kay. If you like this chat, please send it to a friend or your Nolo drinking buddy. And if you're into the science of what we eat and drink, check out our episode on the influx of random chip flavours. Or you might like our chat about why the alt-right is obsessed with eating meat. And we'll put a link to Jacinta Bowler's article for ABC Science in our show notes.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.